Dr. Marvin Ott is professor of national security policy at the National War College here in Washington, D.C. Good morning.
Good morning.
What makes this case unusual?
Well, it's unusual to begin with because this is only the third FBI agent to be identified as a defector in the sense of being a spy for a foreign power, and it's the first case involving someone from the counterintelligence division, and these are the people that are supposed to protect us from exactly this kind of activity.
Any way you can determine Hansen's motives?
Well, we obviously don't know for sure. What's interesting is the amount of money, we're told is about $1.4 million that he received over 15 years, is not an extraordinary amount of money given the amount of time involved. You have to suspect that there may have been other motivations as well as just money, perhaps thrill, perhaps the sort of arrogance that characterized some previous spies of this kind. Aldrich Ames comes to mind. But we can only speculate.
Damage to national security is yet to be measured. How has this case hurt the FBI's image and morale?
Certainly the image of the FBI and morale have to have been hurt. This is a organization that takes pride in its esprit de corps, in its unassailable image of rectitude and all the rest of it. But on the other hand, this was a tough case to crack. You're talking about going after and capturing someone whose job it was to do precisely this. There can be no harder task for the FBI to catch someone in this division because this is the person who knows exactly how the FBI goes about trying to catch someone in this division.
So Hansen was quite valuable to the Russians.
Well, from everything we know, he certainly must have been. I mean, when you read through the affidavit, the list of programs compromised and the kind of language that was used in terms of tightly restricted, extraordinarily valuable, language of this kind certainly suggests that he did a lot of damage. And the flip side of that is he was very valuable as far as the Russians were concerned.
How do you think this is going to affect U.S. relations with Russia?
Well, it's not going to help, obviously. One of the things that's interesting since the end of the Cold War is that the United States and Russia now have tried to develop some degree of cooperation in the intelligence area with regard to international terrorism. And it's going to be harder to do that. That's going to be damaging in an important area, which is the cooperation against international terrorism.
How else has intelligence work changed since the end of the Cold War?
Intelligence was probably overrated during the Cold War. The Soviet Union lost the Cold War, ultimately, not because its intelligence programs were substandard. It lost because its economy was substandard, because of the flaws in its political system and a variety of things of that kind. Its intelligence programs were actually extremely good. And you can make a case that the outcome of the Cold War hinged on these core qualities and systems relating to the economy and the politics and so on. And intelligence was on the margin. But that's not true anymore. When we look at the world today, the real threats are going to come from international terrorism, from the link-up between terrorists and state-supported intelligence agencies and organizations such as in Iraq, and then the link-up between those and weapons of mass destruction. If that's the case, then your line of defense is intelligence. If you're going to try to protect yourself against the Osama bin Ladens of the world, you're reliant on the CIA and on the FBI, and particularly on FBI counterintelligence, to provide that barrier against this kind of problem. Therefore, this sort of penetration and compromise of the gatekeepers in intelligence, this hurts.
Dr. Marvin Ott is professor of national security policy at the National War College here in Washington, D.C.